I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
This week, Team HRN is at Charleston Wine and Food for the fifth year in a row. So, on this week's Meet and Three, we bring you some of our favorite sound bites from last year.
The hospitality here and the camaraderie is really wonderful.
Yes.
That's what struck
Everybody
me.
Everybody smiles.
So, imagine if you mix dirt with sand.
Yes.
You've got our earth.
Yes.
That sounds like that would be really poor.
Really poor,
conditions.
Right?
You know, we can talk all we want about a good story, but a good story is useless if the wine isn't great.
It's highly Instagrammable. It looks so gory.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's food news and storytelling roundup, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and director of New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from a studio at Reuters in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every day in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Atsushi Kono, who is a chef de cuisine at Chikarashi Iso in the financial district in Lower Manhattan. Previously, Atsushi was the executive chef and general manager at Torishin, which is the destination for authentic yakitori in New York City. Chikarashi Iso opened in October 2019 and serves beautiful yakitori by Atsushi, along with kappo-style Japanese dishes. And sushi and ramen became familiar terms around the world, but not many people know enough about yakitori. Yakitori simply means grilled chicken, but there are profound skills and craftsmanship behind it. So today we'll discuss what yakitori is, how Atsushi got into the world of yakitori, why cooking ostensibly simple chicken skewers requires years to master, and much, much more. But quickly, before we start, Japanese is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japanese. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. And so I have a quick announcement. I wrote a book about Japanese food. It came out in Japan in December 2019. Now it's available worldwide on Amazon website. So let me tell you, it's called A Complete Guide to Japanese Cuisine, and the Japanese title is 英語でガイド, 外国人が一番食べたい和食90選. There are two titles because it's written in both English and Japanese side by side. The book is a mini encyclopedia of Japanese food, and it covers 90 dishes, sweets, and beverages with fun facts along with the foundational philosophy and history of Japanese cuisine. And you can bring the book with you on your trip to Japan or to your favorite Japanese restaurant as a guidebook. By the way, it comes with a picture for each dish. And if you work at a Japanese restaurant, you can be your go-to reference. Also, if you're already familiar with Japanese food, the book is useful to explain basics of Japanese food accurately, which is hard, to non-Japanese people. Or it can be a fun textbook for both English and Japanese language learners. It is available worldwide on Amazon website, as well as in bookstores in Japan and some bookstores outside Japan, such as Kinokuniya. And the title is A Complete Guide to Japanese Cuisine, and in Japanese, 英語でガイド, 外国人が一番食べたい和食90選. And if you really want to have not digital copy, but hard copy, I suggest you go to Amazon Japan, so amazon.co.jp. Because shipping cost is much lower, and whatever it is, it's half price than Amazon.com. So anyways, I hope you will enjoy reading it. Now let's start our conversation with Atsushi Kono. Hello, Atsushi. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for inviting.
Yeah, I've been really looking forward to having you. So.
Ah, exciting.
You're the first person about and who can talk about yakitori, so.
Hi. Arigatou gozaimasu.
You're welcome. So first of all, tell us about your background. So where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Hi. I'm from Saitama, Japan. I was editing lots of... I'm from Saitama, Japan. I was eating a lot of fish because my parents had a fish store and a fish restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's amazing.
grew up with fish.
Together. Right. Yeah. So your parents are actually cooks and chefs.
Yeah, chefs.
Wow.
And fish store.
Yeah. Wow. So seat to table.
Yeah,
I know.
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, that's really impressive. And so then, how did you get into cooking yourself? Because you saw your parents?
Yes, a lot of influence from my dad. And also, I went to culinary school too.
Mm. Yeah. So first, your father used to cook Japanese cuisine at the Japanese restaurant?
Yes, authentic Japanese cuisine.
Mm. Yeah. Right. And where did you study cooking?
I study mostly culinary school, mm-hmm. and I worked at a traditional Kyoto restaurant.
Right, so you went to the culinary school in Tokyo?
Yes.
Okay, and I did a research, so you worked at the restaurant in Kyoto called Suzuyoshi.
Hi.
And what was the concept of Suzuyoshi, and what did you learn there?
That concept of Suzuyoshi was Kyoto-style cuisine. I learned cooking skills, knowledge, mentality, and management of the kitchen. Almost everything.
Yeah. Right. So Kyoto style, that means kaiseki.
Kaiseki, yes.
Formal.
Hi. And kapo.
Mm. Okay. So we're going to talk about kapo in a moment.
Yes.
Because it's the concept of...
Hi.
Yeah, chikarashi style too. So when and why did you come to New York?
I came... to New York 2005.
Mm.
I want to open up my world and dancing and cooking. Yeah.
So I heard you are a hip hop artist too. So tell us about that.
Yes.
It's a hip hop artist.
Yeah, yes.
So that was your life.
Yes, other life. Yes.
Right. How did you get into that? You were actually working as an artist?
Yes, used to be, yeah, right.
Yeah, where?
I studied in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Then, sorry.
I think, and I saw, I think one of your information, that your Rock City Crew, you're part of it?
Yes. So I'm a member of a Rock City Crew that is known, one of the legendary hip-hop crew in the world.
Yeah. Amazing.
I started dancing when I was 11 years old.
Mm.
I've got a scout by Rock City Crew when I was 18.
Wow.
We had a b-boy battle competition in Japan.
Oh my god.
It was like a dream come true.
Hey. Can we watch a video somewhere? YouTube?
Yes,
really?
Yeah.
You send me a link, I will post it.
Yeah,
in the
please.
Page.
And since then, I've been doing some performance and dance, battles, DJ, also rap, and event promoter as an artist.
Are you really a chef?
So, yeah.
So, do you still dance?
Yes, but by myself.
Okay.
Yeah, no performing, but I keep training, workout, and keep dancing. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great to
but
know.
But no more club, nightlife.
I was too busy to work.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And so you worked at Torishin, which is the authentic yakitori restaurant in Manhattan for 14 years before you joined Chikarashi. So.
Yep.
And I mean, Torishin is... Really, I think that's the place that put the name of yakitori out in New York City. And so you were there. I think you're one of the most important people who educated New Yorkers about yakitori, in my opinion.
Yeah,
so
I
thank
hope
you
so.
For that. and I heard that you never cooked yakitori before you joined Torishin. So
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I never cook yakitori Torishin before that. But mostly I learned by myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and but by the way, so you came to New York because you knew we're going to work.
Yeah, what opening Torishin, but same time I got that scouted from Rokuseiku. It's the same time.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow. Lucky you.
My original plan. I work both chef's parts and also artist parts too.
Right. Yeah. So you had a boss. So the owner, Shu Ikeda, he hired you in Tokyo and...
Yes.
Oh, wow. So that's amazing. But he knew you never cooked yakitori, right?
Yes. he just wanna need my kaiseki skill.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So at Torishin you started to learn how to cook yakitori?
Exactly.
By looking and...
Yeah, and by myself, also some technique from Suzuyoshi. And help me get into yakitori.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So that's very amazing that Ikeda-san, your boss, was such a open-minded and forward-minded person, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, so now you are at Chikarashi Iso. And, I mean, before you joined Chikarashi Iso, what did you learn at Torishin other than yakitori?
Yes, I had many regular customers there, and they made me motivated a lot. For the customer, I tried to perform better, try good teamwork, and try to improve my skill every day.
Right. Was the kitchen different from Kyoto or in Japan? It's more friendly or...
I think friendly is here.
Yeah.
But Japan style is different approach to customer. But I just try to like a more fit New York service.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think there is a certain distance intentionally spaced between customers and the, you know, whoever the restaurant people are in Japan.
Personal move. I love the New York style service. More friendly. And welcome to our food.
Right. Yeah. I think it's changing, especially Kyoto. They have to maintain that formality. But I think many other restaurants in Japan.
Yeah, some people say too strict, right. Like you know, Kyoto style.
Yeah. Or like, you know, like the midnight diner, you know, the show. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's like a casual. Yeah. That's your home. Okay, so now you're at the Chikarashi Iso, which opened October last year. So what is the concept of Chikarashi Iso?
Chikarashi Iso, yeah, that concept is modern Japanese cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And we are doing Japanese food with some concept, a taste of a technique like French and Korean and American. I think... It's kind of NYC cuisine.
Right. And I think it's also called, according to opening PR press release, it's a kappo style cuisine.
Yeah.
And so what is kappo?
Kappo is Japanese restaurant-based traditional Japanese ingredient and techniques. And chef added their own taste. The most important thing, the couple, is chef's passion and energy.
Right. So I think the formality of couple is less than, there's another word, ryote.
Ryote, yes.
Right. Ryote is like very private dining room style. Yeah. And there's, you know, the garden within the restaurant, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But couple is more...
counter space.
Right.
And
yeah.
Then mostly omakase, and also focusing seasonal ingredients and service.
Right, so it's kind of more personalized version than ryote. But yeah, both enjoy the seasonal tea and Japanese cuisine. Okay. So, so what kind of menu do you offer at Chikarashi right now?
I do yakitori, mm-hmm. the main thing, but I try to create new appetizers or the menus, also pastry too.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, pastry too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, the currently, so I was there a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you saw a beautiful a la carte menu, and also omakase was impressive. It's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yes, seven dishes.
Yes.
And yeah, it's interesting that, you know, the influence of Japanese, French, and Korean, and they're not playful in a way. It's playful in positively, but it's not. They all make sense, which is I think that.
I hope you like, but it's difficult creating one dishes.
Mm.
Sometimes over, sometimes you know, too traditional. You know, we still creating a menu. Yes.
Right, and. Like, for example, there's a gyumaki, sounds like maki, and it was with A5 Omi Wagyu, and wasabi cream, and Kaluga caviar. And it's like, fusion? No, that was really, I could have like 10 dishes of those.
Yes.
Yeah, something really makes sense, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, before we get into yakitori, we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll discuss the essence of yakitori. So please stay with us. Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. The knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese Broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Atsushi Kono, who is a chef de cuisine at Chikarashi Iso in the financial district of Lower Manhattan. Previously, Atsushi was executive chef and general manager at Torishin in Manhattan, which is the destination for authentic yakitori in New York City. So now let's talk about the yakitori. First of all, what is yakitori?
Yakitori is like break down chicken and cut the like at small parts and then skewers.
Mm. Simple.
So yeah, very simple. And yeah, you can quick cook and you can eat it easy. Just take skewers and just eat.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to add, in my opinion, it's so good that you want to eat slowly because one piece has a lot in it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yes. I remember you said that.
Yeah, and then with a glass of sake, and that's like there is some much more than just a skewer.
Yeah, but not everyone. Like some people so quickly eat, and with like a beer and a couple of skewers eating, they just go home. It's
Well, that's not a cool way to do it. So, and just for listeners who are not familiar with the yakitori at all, it can be, it's originally, you know, the grilled chicken, but now you can find beef or pork or other.
Yes, exactly. Right? Or the skewers too. Mm. In Japanese called yaki ton.
Mm.
And
ton is pork.
Pork, yeah. Also robata. It's also skewers and whatever fish, beef, any vegetables and grilled charcoal.
Mm.
That's cool.
Right. Yeah. So it's simple, but there are so many variations.
Yeah, so many variations, yes.
Right. And so by the way, yakitori is normally eaten with salt or tare or sauce.
Yeah.
So what is the sauce made out of?
Tare, basically from soy sauce and mirin, like a rice sweet sake, and sugars.
Right. Okay, so that's like the three primary seasonings of Japanese cuisine. But I think mirin is not known well enough, but it does a lot of things.
A lot of things. We use lots of dashi soup with mirin and sauce with mirin. It's grilled and finish we put the mirin. It's caramelized and good for the nice sweet.
Right, because there's a sugar in it.
Right.
Yeah. And I also heard, well, of course, it can make the surface of the food shiny.
Yeah, shiny, yes.
Right.
It's nice finish flavors and not too sweet, like a nice mild sweet.
Right. Yeah. And also heard the mirin can help flavors penetrate into the ingredients.
Yeah.
So because it's alcoholic.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's like 14-15% alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. So listeners, if you haven't tried mirin, I think everybody in Japan has it in their country.
Yeah, a lot of people confuse like how to use it. Mirin. Mm. Sometimes too much use mirin, it's over sweet.
Right.
And if just a little bit, it's not coming up, you know, flavor.
Right.
So that's so difficult. Yeah, difficult techniques.
Right. So that's the fun part of it.
Yeah.
You master it. And it's really useful. And actually, it has to be sold at a liquor store because of the alcohol contents. And I heard originally they're drunk as a beverage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the people, maybe, they drink the mirin too. Yeah.
I think it's too sugary.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Right. But, well, just to add, or for that matter, there's a mirin fu, which is mirin style, because if you don't have a liquor license, you can't sell it. So supermarkets and convenience stores, they tend to sell mirin fu, mirin style.
Oh, yeah, mirin style, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, so so this is a key question. What makes great yakitori?
What makes great yakitori? Yes. It's good ingredient and preparation and grill techniques. It's totally different way to prep and cook, depend on the chicken parts.
Right. So compared to, say, barbecue, which is also important... in terms of, you know, ingredients are more important. I mean, important, as important as yakitori, but sounds like there's a lot more, so...
Yes, yeah, it's size and also parts, each part, some parts of are like a tender, some parts of like so hard. And it's each part is tried to different way to heat and finish.
Right, so temperature and the time.
Yes, and charcoal conditions too. Yes.
Oh, we're going to dig into that in a moment. So, by the way, well, you said the ingredients are the most important, or one of the most important.
Yeah.
So, who do you buy your chicken from?
We buy chicken from a local farm from Pennsylvania.
It's like an Amish farm.
Yes, Amish farm.
Right. So how it's there's many chicken farms, but do you have to find a good one? How did you find it?
This is it was challenge. We drive and walk in some farm, and sometime we try demonstrate for the farmers and try to negotiate get fresh chicken.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So demonstrate, you actually make yakitori.
Exactly. We bring the bring yakitori grill. We just got a fresh chicken. We show them how to break down, how to skewers, but because they don't know yakitori. So we just show it to serve to a real yakitori.
Wow. I'm sure it was convincing. I'm sure they enjoyed it, your meat.
Then they start to smile at me and more talk to, you know, nice, and starting to negotiate everything.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. So for them, it's a new way to utilize their chicken and probably really a great way.
Yeah.
So it's made delicately and preciously. So.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. And I think, well, you told me they have, one of the farmers does asajime.
Asajime.
Yeah. Right. What is asajime?
And it's English, like, early morning, killed chicken, then shift to my kitchen.
Right.
That's asajime.
Okay.
Sorry, that's me.
Freshly killed in the morning. Right. So, but definitely it's fresher. And
yes. And basically, early morning, killed chicken, then after 6 hours, the best way to break down chicken.
Mm.
If before the 6 hours, still so nervous,
right.
The muscle.
Mm.
Then after 6 hours, the muscle come down to relax that condition. Also, meat texture, it's more coming soft.
Right. So the amino acid comes down, like breaks down.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So the 6 hours, that's the...
Yeah, that's minimum 6 hours.
Mm.
But sometimes that depends on the chicken. It's after 6 hours, still hard, still nervous.
Mm.
So I try to wait to after a day and sometimes 2 days.
Wow.
And sometimes after breakdown, after aging, couple of days, and make sure condition is lightweight, and I can skewer.
Right. I think the chefs started to discover, like, aging beef, aging raw fish for sushi, and now, of course, chicken has to be the same.
Yeah, but I'm not really comfortable with the aging chicken, but I want to serve, you know, anti-fresh.
Right.
But I can try. I'm trying to... It's like a chicken jerky. It's kind of a dry chicken.
Right.
But this is also tastes good.
Mm, I don't think I've tried that. Yeah. Chicken jerky.
Next time. Yeah. That's secret menu.
Oh, definitely come. Okay. So well, this is important for listeners who have not been to yakitori place. So their special term is to call each part of chicken yakitori. So maybe you can give us some examples.
Okay, so let's say it's called Hatsumoto. It's like a main artery, the roots of hearts and livers.
So basically, you know, if you go to classic yakitori restaurant, there's a whole list of parts. And even for Japanese person, like... I don't know. I don't usually eat yakitori. So what is that? So like, hatsu, kimo, and nankotsu, and bonjiri. Like
bonjiri.
Yeah.
It's also popular parts of chicken, oyster, like a joint of muscle chicken thigh. That's usually people say like a secret, like a chef's, like a skewers. They don't serve a regular. Like just only special situation, they're serving special parts.
Because it's only one.
Yeah,
two. Right.
One chicken, one parts.
Right.
Sometimes we serve two chicken, one skewers.
That's a
very limited parts.
Right. And there's thigh breast, tender breast, like sesame, and wing is teba, and skin is kawa. And it's once you know, you get kind of like you know it's yakitori. It's exciting too.
Yeah.
But one thing though, so many Americans are reluctant to eat organ meats even if they're very nutritious.
Yes.
Right? And vitamins and minerals and antioxidants. But so how do you deal with them?
I don't sub for the people who doesn't like want to eat. But if they interesting organ, I try to serve, make them new experience. But it's no pressures, no, just little by little, you know, best way.
Right. So any example, like?
Liver.
Okay.
Yeah, some people bad experience and they never try that. So, but our liver is almost like a foie gras. But not fatty, it's so creamy, and we serving a white liver. It's like so fresh and creamy and not smell anything.
Right. So white liver means it's the blood is removed.
Yeah, cleaned. It's a fully.
Like,
yeah,
okay, like for
yeah.
Right. And like cartilage, that's called nankotsu.
Yes.
That's the texture experience.
Yes, this is a little bit difficult. People don't understand why you eating bony like texture.
Mm.
But I don't know if Asian people loves like this texture, crunchy accent. Mm. So.
But if you like potato chips or nuts, I think it's pretty...
It's similar, but it's I think that chips, I think that part is more skin side, like a crispy skin chips. Mm. But nankotsu is like more like hard crunchies.
Right.
Mm. Example, fried chicken. You know, some people eat 100%. You finish like a little bone mm-hmm. too. That accent is nankotsu.
Right.
I think it's like a similar experience.
Mm. Maybe that's the image that...
Yeah.
Right. So that's my favorite too, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Right. What types of other meat, other than chicken, what kind of meat do you like to cook?
Yeah, of course, I love pork, I love beef. But my favorite, I told you last time, maybe beer tongue.
Mm. Beef tongue.
Beer tongue, so...
Veal.
Veal, yes.
Right. Oh, veal is this because it's younger and
yes,
softer.
Yes, exactly. It kind of like a baby
beef.
And
the tongue is very fatty.
Very fatty,
right?
And milky.
Mm.
And juicy and tender.
Mm. So do you serve it with salt or tare?
I like salt, simple. Mm. You know, it's medium rare. Just touch the salt and peppers and smoke a little bit. And that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
So that really doesn't do anything that could... potentially reduce the flavor experience.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Right. Okay, by the way, what kind of salt do you use?
I use a couple of salt, Japanese Okinawa salt, and some from the diamond salt, simple, and also like rock salt, Himalayan salt, and char salt, and couple flavor like yuzu salt, plum sauce. It's depend on the case. I try to control.
Well, I recently started to compare the salt in my cabinet. I have like five different salts.
Yes, yeah.
And the sweetness level is very different depending on.
Depending on, yeah. It's combination of the ingredient too.
Mm.
Yes.
Right. So you have to choose each meat
exactly.
requires different kind of salt. That's amazing.
Mm.
Right. So another key thing about yakitori, so you use binchotan to grill yakitori.
Hi.
So what is binchotan and what is so special about binchotan?
Yes, I use a Kishu binchotan charcoal. It's from Wakayama Prefecture, Japan.
That's the Cadillac of binchotan.
High quality charcoal in the world.
Mm.
And... it's much more difficult lineup and the Kishu binchotan. It's difficult technique. And it's very hard charcoal. And temperature inside the kiln above almost 1,000 degree.
Wow.
That's super hot charcoal.
Right. So I heard that binchotan is different from other charcoal because it's made differently. And oak is oak or usually oak is burned.
White oak, yes.
White oak.
Yeah.
Is burned slowly at lower temperature and than regular charcoal. Mm. So it takes longer to make, which is the labor cost.
Yeah,
that's why it's expensive. And the wood is also burnt in a closed environment, similar to steaming, to avoid becoming ash. Mm. And at the end of the process, the oven gradually opens up to get more oxygen. The temperature of the oven gets to 1,000 degrees centigrade, which is about 1,800 Fine. Right. So, and as a result, the whole process makes the wood very tight and it can burn longer than regular charcoal. And you can avoid excessively smoky flavor food.
Yeah.
So that's why it's expensive. Right. So the benefit of binchotan, again, you can achieve higher temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's higher temperature, you can control the heat depending on the distance between the food.
Yeah, between, exactly. Like, depend of the like skewer parts too.
Mm.
and but most difficult like heat control.
Right.
And light temperature make inside juicy, you know, outside crispy, smokiness.
Right. Yeah. So how long does it take? How many minutes per yakitori to make?
I think 4 or 5 minutes.
But you have to keep watching every single one of them.
Of course, like a big parts or some meatballs or something, we have to cook like more longer. But basically, we have to finish like quickly as possible. So,
right. Yeah. Okay. And so you must be sweating a lot in the kitchen.
All day, all day, all the time.
Yeah. But your skin is so beautiful.
Yeah. You shine.
What is the most challenging part of Binchotan?
Challenge part. I think control, heat control, the parts.
Right.
Yeah, challenge.
Okay. I asked this question because, you know, it's hard to imagine, right? So you have like multiple, like 20 skewers at the same time. And then you have to manage everything.
Yeah, you have to understand each skewers, how to heat, how to process.
Right. So as you watch the meat, you have to move around the charcoal.
Yes.
Too.
And I'm saying always when I training people, we have to communicate to charcoal. Have to be conversation and control. For example, I take the chicken thigh and other the skin, it have to be separate, not same spot. The first slow cook and first high cook first, have to be understand so which way we go.
Right, and you have to keep moving.
Keep like moving,
Hip hop, dancing.
Keep dancing. And also, very important, we use like uchiwa, use fan. All the time, keep using fan and
control. Hand fan.
And smoke and control temperature.
But that's the smoke, right?
Yes.
Yeah, even if Binchotan has less smokiness, you still have to control.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also fire from come up, and also we take out.
So that it doesn't burn like flame.
Yeah.
Right. Wow, that's so busy.
It's busy same time. And if you work counter, same time you have to keep conversation with customer. And you have to keep watching customer situation and have to focus background kitchen.
Wow.
And same time any accident.
Wow.
So many one scenes same time going on. Yeah.
Wow. You never get age. Like if you keep cooking yakitori, it's like 80 to 90, you are razor sharp.
I feel like this is similar when I dance, like music and on beat and any technique and it's that situation. It's at the same time. It's a very similar situation.
Interesting.
Yakitori and dancing.
Right. Well, that's why you're so good at it.
That's why I keep tempo, keep dancing, and then I can keep working.
Yeah. So I wish one day you do take a video and you can watch it.
Okay.
Right. How often do you change the menu though? Because you have, fresh ingredients.
Yes. But based on the four season, we change the menu. But mostly every monthly, little by little, change the menu, the parts.
Right. So out of all those yakitori you serve, right now I saw that there's a chef selection. There's a la carte menu. There's sasso chicken. That's the selection 6. And fresh bamboo and winter vegetables. So can you just go through what they are? Your menu?
Yes. Yakitori menu, I serving 6 cure set. It's 3 types, like only chicken and other plate, like mix vegetables and chicken parts. Also other for the vegetable skewers, the 3 kind of plate. Also, I serving a seasonal special ingredient. For example, now start spring, early spring, fresh bamboo.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And you don't see fresh bamboo very often.
Exactly. And then fresh bamboo is so amazing. Like it smells like almost like sweet corn. And Turkish like a popping, like crunchy, fresh Turkish bamboo shoot. And the I tried braise the dashi and after the grilled charcoal and the serving to looks very simple but so flavored and so tasty.
Right. So for listeners, you can just go for fresh bamboo only too. Well, the good thing about yakitori is that you can serve vegetarian dishes too.
Yes.
There's so many.
I recommend vegetarian too. Yeah.
Right, because I think, we talked about tare or sauce or shio, but smoke, that's another flavoring.
It's, very simple process. Basically, salt and charcoal grill, and then I can serve a fresh ingredient, also season. So, a lot of my customers from vegetarians.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Anything smoky, people tend to like hamburger to barbecue, and it's such a universal feel.
But if you learn this charcoal flavor, you know, you always miss it. Like, I needed something, this flavor.
Right. Yeah, so, okay, so the seasonal and monthly, so we can keep going back.
Yes.
And so what is your plan for the future?
My future plan. My point is, I wanna support it, like food industry in the U.S. I hopefully more people know yakitori, great yakitori, and also enjoy in the home, for example, barbecue situation. They try to yakitori and enjoy. For a lot of people.
Well, it's interesting because it's like sushi, right? You need a good cook to let people know how great it is.
Yeah.
And there are not many people who can cook great yakitori.
Yeah, but I think in America, it's a lot of people likes barbecue. That's why I hopefully everybody try to skewer a little cut, you know, small cut chicken. Right. And then the grill and enjoy the family party. So.
Yeah. Right. And for restaurants, though, I still think binchota is good charcoal.
Yeah. And then you can get a charcoal from Japanese store. It's Korean. They selling charcoal. You can get it.
Right. Okay. So, listeners, this summer is the summer of yakitori.
Yes, please. You try it.
Right. So, where can we find you on social media?
I have an Instagram account, it's called ATS223, so please check it out.
ATS223, yes. Okay. So, all right, so thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I look forward to tasting more great yakitori. It's really special. So listeners, if you like to go and taste Tsushishi yakitori, you can find information on chikarashiiso.com. That is chikarashiiso.com, chikarashiiso.com. And so, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or at kikotm.com. Japanese is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Amanda Wong, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat & 3 is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat & 3.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah. And my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.